basically a half a day in Chamorro, which is the native language in Guam, means how are you? Just so you know. But anyway, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for supporting me on this mission trip. This was a really big endeavor. I really looked forward to it. And the Lord taught me a lot through it, not just in the mission trip alone, but the unexpected events that occurred during the mission trip, which I'll tell you about later. First of all, I'm going to go through some slides here to show you guys. This here is my Taylor missions trip team. We hope to go. There's a total of 21 of us. We had the three Van Gelderens. And then here's my Taylor team, which most of us were able to go to. So we start off the week on Monday. We left early Monday morning, around 3 o'clock in the morning, and this happened. We go about 10 minutes down the road, and the bus starts breaking down. We pull off. They start starting the bus. It's not working. So they keep starting. About 5 minutes later, we get the bus going. We keep going down the road, made for about another 45 minutes. It keeps working. And 45 minutes later, it breaks down again. So we're like, all right, we can't keep doing this. We got to call someone. So we call the guys back in the dorm about 4 o'clock in the morning, wake them up, tell them, hey, you got to bring some buses out here with trailers to carry all this luggage. So we call them up. They're on their way. In that meantime, the bus starts up again. So we start heading out to Chicago, where we're flying out of. On our way to Chicago, we're about 20 minutes from Chicago. The bus breaks down again. So we're like, all right, this is it. The guys are still behind us. We told them to continue following us in case this happened again, because we couldn't miss our flight. They eventually came, picked us up, and we got to Chicago just in time to be able to catch our flight. It was really neat, actually, during that. Each time the bus broke down, it was really neat to see how we all kind of prayed together and sang songs to God to help us, help the bus and everything to go smoothly. We arrive in Japan on Tuesday. This is the Smith's home. This is the main missionary family we came to help with. This is where all the guys and girls stayed. We arrived on Tuesday, and the next day was Wednesday. We were able to help out with a Wednesday evening service. We were able to sing some songs. Oh, this here. This is the missionary family. It's actually the Smiths and the Wilhites. The Smiths, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and they have four daughters. And then there's the Wilhites, and they have about 13 children, something like that. So that's not all of them there. It's only about three of the Wilhites and three of the Smiths. Anyway, that's a picture of them. Here's a Wednesday evening service. We did some songs, even though the Japanese weren't able to understand. It was still neat to be able to be a blessing to them. Here in this picture, I don't know if you see my laser, but this guy right here, he's actually about, I think he was like 73 years old. He's up there. And it was really neat. Most of us guys were able to talk to him. Even though he's Japanese, we were able to have some of the missionary kids help interpret. He'll speak to them in Japanese, and they'll interpret to us in English. So it was really neat just to be able to communicate with him. And he's actually starting to learn English. Even though he's that old, he has a really big desire to learn English and how to pronounce it correctly. So it's really neat just to be able to communicate with him. And another thing about him, he's been going to that church for about 3 to 4 years and is still unsaved. It's a thing in Japan. Soul winning works way differently than it does here. Here, you get someone to come to church, about a week or two later, they're probably going to be saved. Here, it takes a long time relationship to build, and they have to get out of their religion mind and all their other things. So we were able to help there on Wednesday, and then we go to our main thing we are having there in Japan to help the missionaries. We have like a family camp. I forget the name of the camp was, but we had about 5 missionary families show up. This is where we met at. They rented a big, huge ground cabin for us. We had different things going on. We sang for them. Pastor Van Gelderen preached for them three messages a day. That was Thursday and Friday. And then we also had sessions for the men. We were able to be a challenge to them. And this one right here, we hope to help the young kids, missionary kids. This one right here. We were able to, for us teens who were on the trip, the young people, this is where our main focus was, to the other teens, missionary kids. There's actually quite a few. I think there was about close to 8 missionary kids who were teenagers. And this right here is my fellowship president, Landon Edminster. He was preaching on surrender. And this was a big turning point, I would say, for most of these young people's lives. Most, I think every single one of them went back and surrendered their lives to God. Even though they're missionary kids, they do still struggle with many of the things that regular teens do. Moving on to the next thing. There's a final group right there, all the missionary families and our team. And then on Saturday, we had our last day. We'll do some sightseeing in Japan. We went to Naruto, which is in Tokyo. We all split up into groups. And my group, actually, instead of just going to shops like most of the groups did, looking at stuff, we walked the furthest, and we actually got to go to a temple. This temple's a Shinto temple, I believe. It's actually still being used. There's people in there. It's actually kind of scary and weird because there's people dressed in robes. They'll be beating on drums. They have this big, huge campfire in the middle, like golden lamps coming down and everything, people on mats bowing. We weren't allowed to take any photographs or videos, but it was actually a really beautiful building. This is another picture. This is at the same temple grounds, right here as well. And then we go to Guam, I believe. First thing that happens in Guam, we have a problem with our guy's vehicle, that we get a flat tire. Right when they pick us up at the airport, this is where it's at. So we fix the flat tire, we put the spare one on, go about half mile down the road, that tire busts. It blows up. Luckily, we pull over to a gas station, we'll pull out this other spare tire which we had, which was the one we originally took off, and we were able to pump it up with air, and we didn't get back to the Henderson's home until like 1 o'clock in the morning, which was Sunday morning, which we had to be ready for. So, whoops, too far. So then we had a day off to catch up. Us guys were able to go to the top of the mountain, about a 2-mile hike. It was actually a great view, really beautiful there in Guam. And here's Sunday. As you can see, and this is the Henderson's Church. Most of the people who attended the Henderson's Church were kids. There was probably about 3-4 adults and about 20 kids. They take vans to go to the village, pick up the kids, and then bring them there. If you remember, I think it was about, I forget how many years ago, but the Hendersons were needed. They asked for prayer requests because they needed a van. And I believe Pastor brought up to the church about buying them a van. And we actually bought them the van. And Pastor Henderson said it was such a big blessing. And it was, because we had to take a lot of trips to pick up the kids and also for the Cola Clash. So that's the Henderson's Church right there. This is the church I was able to be at for Sunday school. It's Minnegahett Baptist Church. The preacher there is Pastor LeClaire. He and his wife, and they have 2 sons and 2 daughters. Their church situation is almost exactly the same. They have about 3 adults and 20 kids, which is kind of interesting. I was able to speak there. It was actually a big blessing because we had a meal there, and we hoped to be encouragement and build friendship with the Chamorro people. The Chamorro people do speak English, by the way. Too much again. We hold our... There we go. We held our Cola Clash. Basically, our Cola Clash is a 3-day event for teenagers and young people. We did one in the morning at this park right here in the south part of Guam. And then we did one in the evening in the north part at Jigo Bowl Park. About each one, you can see how full it is. It's about 60-some people, I believe. We will have competitions. Us teens and team members were able to be a part of it, just help them be enthusiastic and get them into games and stuff. there's the evening, which was a lot nicer because in the day, it would get up in the hundreds and it would be really hot. Which evening was a whole lot cooler, a whole lot nicer. That one, we saw about the same amount of people come out, about 60-some people. In the end, there were about, I think there were 36 salvations, 12 surrenders, and 6 assurances. It's a big blessing to be able to see God work. Not only did he work when Pastor Van preached, he also worked when us team members, some of us were able to give testimonies of how God changed our lives. That's a night when Pastor Van preached on surrender. Just neat to see how even missionary kids came out. And then here's some beautiful pictures of Guam, our last day there. And they actually, one thing they're famous for is their, I can get a pop up here. There you go, blue starfish. They're like everywhere on the beaches. And then there we are. We were leaving Guam. There's the Hendersons. And Will Henderson's actually coming back to school this year. And he's actually going to be the vice president for my Taylor Fellowship. So just pray for him as he's stepping up this year and taking leadership in that. I believe that was the last slide, I think. Yep. All right. I believe I have a video. You can pop that up while I show you guys. Most should be able to understand since I showed you most of the pictures, but well, two of the things I forgot to mention to you guys that was mentioned in the video was the weather and the teens. One thing about the weather there, right when we arrived, the rainy season just started, and they're calling for rain the whole week. And it was neat to see as we prayed for the weather. It didn't rain a single day that we had the cloud clash. It misted a little bit after the one cloud clash, but it was right after we finished. And then right after the last day of cloud clash that evening, when we were all done packing everything, the Guam got the heaviest downpour they have ever seen in their history, which was totally amazing. And after the cloud clash, it has been raining there, I believe it was for about 3 days straight. So it's just amazing just to see how the Lord held off the weather for us to be able to have the cloud clash and minister out to his teens. And the one burden we had for those teens was not only to see them saved, but also to pass on and reach others. Because that whole island, it's not that big of an island, even though it takes about an hour to get from one side to the other. The whole island can be reached. And that was our vision. And that was the vision we're trying to get to them. That it's not impossible, and that it is possible to reach their whole generation. And to, especially to see this young generation be saved. And whenever they grow up, if they're continuing in their faith to see how Guam can be continually impacted from it. All right. I'm sure a challenge from you guys. You guys saw the verse that was up there. If you all want to turn to your Bibles to Psalms chapter 144. Psalms chapter 144. Just a question I want to start out with is, how big is your God? How big is your God? I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just pray that you would come through here, Lord, that you would give me the words that you want me to say, Lord, and come out with clarity. Lord, I pray that you have laid this on my heart, Lord. It's been a burden, not only me, but for my whole team. May it resonate tonight, Lord, that we can go out here with this burden. In your name, pray. Amen. So Psalm chapter 144 here was our theme verse for the missions trip. I want to specifically mostly focus on verse 2. In verse 2, we see my goodness. What exactly does it mean by goodness? Specifically, we see by means loving kindness. A lot of times we go through life and we don't realize God's goodness to our lives. We don't realize his loving kindness, the things that he gives to us. Some verses, Psalms 84:11. For the Lord is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. Ecclesiastes 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of God. Many times we go through life and we really complain about the things that we don't have. We put our focus on the things that we don't have and rather than the things that how God has given us. It was just neat to see with a bus. When we went on the bus and the bus broke down on the way to Chicago, every single time we stopped, we prayed to God. And even though we were in a point there we didn't know what to do, we still had praises to sing to God. We could still sing praises to God, and we still could be thankful. Like, what could we be thankful for about a broken bus? Well, we still had backup. We had backup, we had guys who could drive the buses, we had trailers, we could at least get to Chicago. God's gotten us this far. And many things. Continuing in verse 2 there, it says, "And my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust." This part right here has been a huge impact in my life right here. My fortress and my high tower. When you think of a fortress, you think of like an army when they have barracks. And when you think of a fortress, it has to be something you have to trust in. You won't call a fortress your tent or anything like that. Like, for example, you won't think of, like, let's say, in World War II, a guy's out there in the middle of the field and all of a sudden he's being shot at with machine gun fire. He has two options to run to. He can run to his tent, or he can run behind his big barracks' wall. Well, that's like a no question. It's kind of silly, but we would run to his barracks, his fortress. He doesn't put his trust in his tent. But you know what? Many times, just like the machine gun, is like the devil. Sometimes he shoots his arrows at us. And sometimes we don't put our trust in God, and we try to take them on ourselves. But here we see God is our shield. He's our deliverer. And you know what? Since we can trust God, when we want to trust God, we can run to God, our fortress. He's our fortress. He's someone who we can run to and trust. Who are we looking to in time of trials? Are we looking to God? Are we trusting in Him? One thing about trust. Many times I realize that our trust is really limited. We limit our trust a lot of times in prayers. And that was one big thing you heard about in testimonies, was prayers and how God answered prayers and how we need prayer. But many times we limit God in prayer. We're like, how can you limit God in prayer? Many times we come to God in prayer, we're like, oh God, I have some small prayers and I got some big prayers. I think I'm just going to pray these small prayers because I'm pretty sure you can deliver those. They're just not too hard for you. These big prayers, I don't know, they're kind of hard, might be kind of difficult for you. I don't know if you can do them. Many times we do that to God. God wants to use us to do big things in our lives. And just like you heard in testimonies, God has big plans for our lives. He wants to do big things. But when we don't trust God, we limit Him. We're limiting to God's power. And we only ask Him for small things that we believe He can do. An example, this past year was Baptist College of Ministry's 20th anniversary. And during that, what was happening, upcoming to it, Pastor Van Gelderen came up to the student body and the church, and he specifically said, I'm believing in God that He is going to provide $200,000. $200,000? Well, my first reaction was, yeah, right. Like, who in the world is believing God in $2,000? That's an impossibility. If God's going to fail, well, what's going to happen then? And we even had a prayer meeting with us sophomores back then. We all talked about like how our faith was so small in God. Our trust was so small in God. We're like, why is our faith, why is our trust so small in God that we can't believe Him for $200,000? Well, one reason, it's impossibility. And we don't like God asking God for impossibilities. Why? Because it's impossible. We can't do it on our wills. And that's when we have to let go of the steering wheel and let God take control. And do you know what? It was easy for Pastor McGeldren to do that. Why? Because he had a close walk with God. He knew who God was. He's been through trials before and had seen God come through. And it's just neat just to be able to back up Pastor McGeldren and pray for his $200,000 and be able to see God provide. he had a close walk with God. About my high tower. Many times we think of a high tower as something big. And God, he is big. He's something that we can look to. Like, for example, year before, we went for Victoria's birthday. We got to go to New York City. And over New York City, we got to visit the One World Trade Center. And if you go up to the One World Trade Center, it's a high tower. It's something really huge, especially when you stand right underneath it, you look up, it's really tall. I believe it's 1,776 feet. That's really tall. Anyway, we stand there, look at the tower, it's super big, right? But for example, you take one step backwards, is the tower getting smaller? Well, not really. I mean, it might just a little bit, you won't be able to notice it. But if you take another step backwards, continuing doing that, eventually it gets smaller and smaller. I mean, it'll still be big, but by the time you take a lot of steps backwards, I mean, you could just basically go like that and hold the Eiffel Tower in your hand. Not the Eiffel. The One World Trade Center in your hand. Why? Because you've taken so many steps backwards. And you want, when God says he's our high tower, how close are we to our high tower? Do you want many times we go through life and it's hard to trust God? Just like when Pastor brought up that $200,000 request. It was hard for me to trust God. And in another situation in my life where it was hard to trust God. Why? Well, maybe because I didn't realize how big God was in my life at that point. Maybe because I wasn't that close to that high tower. But you know what? Just like the opposite. When you take one step closer to that high tower, it slowly becomes a little bigger, right? And it's easier to trust a high tower because it's bigger in your life. And if you continue taking steps closer, like doing your devotions, walking with God daily, obeying his commandments, having a fellowship and communion with God, challenging others. You want? You're taking those steps closer to God. And the closer you become to God, the easier and easier it gets to know who God is, and easier it gets to trust God in those hard times. Just another example was, me and my brother had a car accident last Thanksgiving break, I believe it was. And you know what? That time was really hard to trust God. I couldn't, why would God do this? Took our car away, it's done, totaled. It's hard to trust God. What are we going to do? Well, God provided. The midgets were almost like half hour away. They were able to pick us up. Now, how are we going to get to school? Well, I guess we're going to trust God for that too. We don't have a car now. When we were taking our one other buddy out to school. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, I guess we got to buy airplane tickets. We got airplane tickets, get to the airport, hop on the plane. Then the flight attendant says, everyone has to get off the plane. The plane is not taking off. I thought God wanted us to go out to school on this plane. So we all get off the plane. It's been delayed for 2 hours because of weather in Chicago. Okay, well, at least we'll be probably hopping back in the plane in about 2 hours. A few moments later, here with the PA system, your flight has now been canceled. Okay, now what are we going to do? We're stuck here in Baltimore. We've got to get out of school. It starts that next day. Now we're going to do it. Well, God still provides. You know what? We trusted him. And he provided a hotel, a room, and a transport to get to the hotel and back for free. That was an amazing thing God did. And we were able to do that, get a flight the next morning, flew out. We get close to Chicago. And they said, unfortunately, we can't land in Chicago right now. There is snow on the ground. We're not going to be able to land until they give us permission. But if we keep flying up around here, we're eventually going to run out of fuel, so we're going to have to make a landing at some other airport. I forget what the airport's name was. Well, that's what they had to do. They had to make that landing. And all the planes that were going to land in Chicago landed at that same spot. So there's about 17 planes in line at that airport waiting to take off. So we're sitting in that airport, and we're like, do you want this airport's actually even closer than what it was when we met Chicago? It'd been 2 hours to get to Chicago. Here it was about an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. And you know what? It was neat to see how God provided even that way. We thought, what is God doing to make us not land in Chicago? He still provided. He made us land even closer, which we didn't realize. And still providing that way. And we still got out of school. And not only was it a big challenge to me and be able to trust God through all those times, trials, but even be able to share it with my fellowship. I was able to share it with them. and be able to be an example to them how we need to trust in our God. So just to end, how big is your God? Because many times we limit God in a box. We limit him in our prayers and what God can do. But you want God wants to do the impossible. He wants to do the impossible through your life, but we're not asking him for the possible because we don't believe him. We're not trusting him. And you want, just like Tristan's testimony he gave, our lives are kind of like a rag, God says. And you want, for God to be able to use that rag, it has to be clean. It has to be spotless. And that rag has one thing we're holding on to. One sin, maybe even just a one tiny little thing that we don't consider that much, and we're not willing to get rid of it. God's not going to be able to use us to our fullest extent. He's not going to be able to use us to where he can see us impossible things done in our lives. And once we get rid of that one thing, then God will be big in our lives. Then we'll be drawing nigh to God, because then he'll draw nigh to us, and we'll be able to see how big our God is. So, just to end with, that was my challenge to you. How big is your God? We're all at different points of our lives. Some of you are older than me, have had more experience, say, well, just because you're older or younger does not mean you're closer or further away from God. This is an individual thing. This is not a group thing. This is for each individual here. You have to draw an eye personally to God. You have to take those steps yourself. So, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this challenge I was able to give to fellow brothers here, Lord. Lord, I just pray that we'll be drawn nigh to you, Lord. Lord, you are big, you are strong, Lord. You are our defender, you are our fortress, our high tower, and our shield. Lord, I pray that we'll take those steps, Lord, to draw closer to you. Because, Lord, you are big. You want to do mighty things in our lives. Lord, may we not have anything in our lives that are holding you back, Lord, to do the impossible. Lord, may we continue to trust you. May you continue to do great things in our lives. In your name, I pray. Amen.